So this is essential in a person's development. Essential in a person's development that when they take benefit from someone, whoever it might be, in whatever regard it might be, that they be thankful for the fact that they received that benefit. And it exists in many different spheres of our life. It exists in the fact that we come to this masjid. You know, I mean, 2-3 weeks ago before the dinner, when we talked about the fundraising dinner and all that, I mentioned this to you very clearly. You have a debt, right? We are born, it's very, you know, when these guys have these debts that are so deep that it totally overcomes them, what happens? They don't function properly anymore. Ask somebody who's about to lose their home because they're in such massive debt, what they plan on doing with their wealth. They say, what do you mean doing? I have no choice. Everything is going straight to the company to who I financed my house through, right? Because they have no choice. We're the exact same way. We don't have any choices. We are born in a state of debt. The moment we're born, we're placed in the debt of our parents. And we could never repay that were we to cut off our arms and our legs and present them to our parents. That's how deep that debt is. And then on top of that, we come into multiple layers of debt. You know, we're in debt to this masjid because we benefit from it. We're in debt to the people who run the masjid because we benefit from their work. We're in debt to the guy who paves the street because we drive on it. You know, we don't reflect on these things. We assume somehow that, you know, we're some elevated, raised people and that all of these things are given to us because we deserve them. No. No. People are not eating in many places of the world. People don't have rice to eat nowadays. People don't have the basic essentials that they need. People are watching their own children starve, and they're watching their own children not grow. You know, we look at our children, and they don't grow 2 inches in six weeks. We say, what happened? He's off his curve. We freak out. People are calling, saying, can you make dua? My son was on the 80th percentile. Now he's on the 50th percentile. You know, that's the way we respond when our own children, quote unquote, don't grow. But that's normal. What do you think goes through these parents' mind when they don't even have food to feed their child? You know, I mean, just think about it for a minute that we're eating so much and other people don't have any food to eat. Don't you think that that food will be asked about on the Day of Judgment? Every time we take a bite, we're being placed in debt. And the debt is that we take the energy that we receive from that food, that we take the luxuries that we've been given from the rested bodies that we have, and that we apply ourselves to this deen 1001%. To the teachers that we've been given, we have a responsibility. To the organizations that we benefit from, we have a responsibility. To even the morsel of food that we eat, we have a responsibility. And until this gets ingrained in these minds that have assumed that they deserve these things rather than that it's created responsibility, we're in serious trouble. We are in serious trouble. So I mean, this lesson is such a deep lesson that if this were to be ingrained in you, it would be sufficient for the rest of your life. You have to appreciate the debt that we're in. We're in debt to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're in debt to all of the mashayikh and all of the ulama and all of the great scholars that came that brought us this benefit. And we will be asked on the Day of Judgment what we did with it and how we repaid that debt. It's not a joke, it's serious. And then, if that wasn't enough, we're in debt to every single person that we bump into during our lifetime. And it's amazing that we can't even fulfill the simple debt that exists before us. It's amazing that somebody will take, you know, a teacher and or some consultation from someone, spend hours and hours and hours of their time, and then totally go off and do something else and destroy themselves and never call and say what was going on. So what was the benefit of that? What was the purpose of that? You wasted the time of the individual, basically. But they took out their time from their families, from their lives, etc., and gave you that time. So we have to begin to recognize these things. None of this is because we deserve it. All of this is because we are being placed in a state of debt and it will be judged on the Day of Judgment. This is what deen means. Deen in Arabic means transaction. This is all one big transaction. And all of it creates responsibility upon us. So when you benefit from someone, be thankful to them. And recognize the need to treat them with respect and to serve them once in a while. Now when you serve these types of people, you know, I mean, I remember that when I first started interacting with the students at IIE, you know, especially the younger ones, 4 or 5 years when I came back, the biggest problem that they had was, you know, my teachers, they make us serve them. or not even make us serve them. There's this environment in which people serve them, and it seems awkward to me. But actually, in serving them lies such benefit that I could not even begin to place it in words. That's where the barakah lies. It's in serving the teacher and humbling yourself before the teacher. Now, the vast majority of the time when you serve your teacher, basically the teacher is going to not say, look, I needed my feet pressed. They're going to say, look, I need you to do these few things for the dean because that's the responsibilities that the teachers take on their back. You think the teacher has on his responsibility he's going to dig a gold mine in his backyard? No. He's taken on his back the responsibility of serving the dean. So when an individual goes to a teacher and says, look, I want to assist you, what you're basically doing is taking the responsibility of the dean off their shoulders and putting some of it on your shoulders so that they can take more responsibility on their shoulders. But unfortunately, you know, we're Americans, so we want everything our way. This is what we're trained to do, right? You go to Starbucks, you can pick how much sugar, how much milk, dark, light, caffeine, no caffeine. Everything is done our way. So everybody should be serving us. Everybody should do things our way. The deen does not work like that. You have to do things the way in which they exist and take advantage of the circumstances as they arise. And only until you begin to take advantage of these teachers will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then send you better teachers. People complain, this person is not like the Sahaba. So why? I'm not going to treat him like a Sahabi. There are no real Muslims anymore. The reason why there's no real Muslim teachers anymore is because there's no student. The moment there was a student, Allah would put the teacher there. That talab is missing, actually. The responsibility is not the teacher's, it's the student's fault. The students haven't been serious enough. They don't use their time. They don't respect the teacher. So why should Allah give you that type of teacher? The Sahaba had that respect and responsibility and khidmat and adab, so they got Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The tabi'in had that type of respect and khidmat and adab, so they got the Sahaba. This is the way Allah has created. If you were supposed to get these people, you would have been put in that generation. So to sit around and say, well, this alim, he's no longer like this kind of person, of course he's not. We're 1400 years removed from the source. But it's the best for you. You know, if you were sitting with the Sahaba, they would have told you 5 times what to do, and the 6th time they would have severed your head from your neck. Because they would say, this guy doesn't practice what he's supposed to be doing. We told him 10 times he's supposed to be doing this. It's clearly evident from the hadith. There's no other discussion to be had. So the fact that we're so lax, it's a mercy that Allah gives us teachers that are a little bit more lax. So again, the ball lies in our court, not in theirs. So don't make that as an excuse. So you have to recognize that when Allah provides you with benefit, you must reciprocate that benefit by at least making dua for the teacher, at least thanking the teacher, at least once in a while calling the teacher and saying, everything's fine. What drives the teacher is that they want to see that the student benefits. The student calls up for 6 hours, they cry on the phone, and then they never tell you that everything's fine. So then what benefit is that? That leaves everything hanging in the person's mind. But anyway, again, you will never ever appreciate this until the day it's removed. And then if it's removed one day, then you'll begin to see that now, oh, I had that opportunity and it no longer exists. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to be able to take advantage of our teachers. May He make us among those who respect their teachers, who make dua for their teachers, who serve their teachers, and who have adab with their teachers. And may He make us among those who have the best of teachers. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين